Let us pray. This morning, Lord, we are thankful that you have placed us in relationships. Relationships with those that, whose family we were born into, and relationship with friends and co-workers. And because of Jesus, a relationship with you. Help us to realize, Lord, that sometimes our earthly and divine relationships are very similar in many ways. So Lord, help us this morning to understand our own expectations and how they are good and sometimes how they are very bad. We just give it all to you, Lord, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a story about a young couple in love. They were in a long-distance relationship, and the girl at the last minute demanded that the man jump on the next plane and to go for her, go to her place in time for Valentine's Day. The man was terrified of flying and had never been on a plane before. So this was something of a test of his love. Well, he did it. He booked the plane, and with trembling hands, he got on that plane. He was on a charter flight in a 3-engined Lockheed TriStar. Before your time, Alan? They were about halfway into the flight when their pilot's voice came over the intercom. "This is your captain speaking. Ladies and gentlemen, I feel I ought to let you know that one of our 3 engines has failed. There is, of course, no need for alarm. The plane is entirely airworthy, flying on 2 engines, but I regret to say we will be 1 hour late in arriving in New York." 1 half hour later, with a desperate calm that is reserved for air pilots and astronauts for conditions of extreme emergency, the pilot of the TriStar spoke again. "This is your captain speaking. I regret that we have lost the second of our engines. But I would like to reassure you that we have every expectation of making a normal and safe landing at JFK. We shall, however, be 3 hours late in arriving. If any of you would like to take this time to make some calls, the cell phone restriction has been lifted for the remainder of the flight." At this, the man called his girlfriend and said, "My dear, I'm so sorry I can't keep my promise. I just can't meet your expectations. We have lost 2 engines and we will be getting in 3 hours late, but that's not the worst part. I'm afraid that if we lose this 3rd engine, I may be up here all night." Yeah. Expectations. We don't always get what we expect, do we? Including those jokes. We're in part 6 of our series of You and Jesus. And what we can learn about our relationship with the Lord by looking at our relationships with those around us. Today, we're going to be looking at expectations. More specifically, role expectations. This sermon may not mean much to you because none of you have expectations, right? Actually, it's probably just the opposite. Most of us have so many expectations of others that we can start tripping over them in our relationships. We think our spouse ought to be this way. Our boss ought to be that way. Our church and small groups ought to be this way, and our boyfriend or girlfriend ought to be that way. Our kids ought to be this way, and the neighbor's kids ought to be that way. We think he's too much this way, and she's too much that way, and he's not enough this way, and she's still too much that way. Sound familiar? Yeah. Expectation and relationship are what I like to call the silent killer. You know, those are those diseases that are called silent killers. They're the ones without symptoms, at least until it's probably too late. You read magazine articles about them and you try to make yourself aware of what they are. You try to get screened for them and you try to eat properly to avoid them. But expectations are kind of like that. Your expectations for people often exist outside of your conscious awareness. In other words, a lot of times you don't realize what your expectations are until somebody fails to meet them. And when somebody fails to meet our expectations, we don't stop and think to ourselves, my expectations have just failed to be met. We don't do that, right? Instead, we usually get upset. sometimes even angry or hurt. When you are in a relationship with someone and they don't meet your expectations by not saying or doing what you think they should, you get upset. That's because our expectations are connected to our emotions. And when we feel hurt in this way, we tend to strike back directly or behind their backs with words that try to justify ourselves. Or we stoop. Anyone ever done that? Allowing these emotions to turn into bitterness. And that just makes the matter a whole lot worse. It happens in churches. It happens with friends. It happens in families all the time. If I have expectations of you, that means that I have a mental list of things that you should do, things you should say, things you should and should not care about, things you should be willing to do for me. And the list goes on and on. Expectations are just a set of shoulds that we have in our minds for other people. Instead of being faithful to them, instead of accepting them the way that they are, instead of celebrating their differences, instead of allowing the Lord to work in their lives, we very often get upset when they don't act toward us the way we think they should act. You know, should is a very powerful word. When you have expectations of a person, it's not that you think it would be nice if they did this or that. It's that you believe they should. They ought to. That means that in your mind, they should have some kind of duty to act in the way you think they should towards you. Now let's face it, that's a pretty strong burden to lay on anyone, isn't it? Besides, those shoulds, those expectations come from our human nature. We expect other people to act in certain ways, to fill a need in our life. And that is basic selfishness. It's pride. Expectations are nothing but burdens, both to you and the other person. And expectations will destroy relationships very, very quickly. It will drive a wedge between two people that may never be able to be removed. Because unmet expectations breed a host of other harmful and destructive emotions. Let me flip this around for a moment. As we talk about how expectations can be a heavy burden, have you ever felt yourself crushed under the weight of someone's expectations of you? Remember what that felt like? Some of you might be in a relationship where you feel that every single day. You are failing to meet the expectations of someone else day after day, week after week. How does that make you feel? Or maybe you're the one with the expectations that are never met. Expectations that you have of your spouse, of your children, or your children's spouse, friends, or people in our church. How does that make you feel? What is the result of having expectations that go unmet day after day, week after week, month after month? What's the result? Frustration? Anger? Resentment? Disappointment? Bitterness? No matter how you look at it, expectations can really cause problems. Expectations can cause problems whether you're the one whose expectations are not met or whether you are the one who has disappointed someone by failing to meet their expectations of you. Expectations are also a huge issue because they are mostly unseen and usually they are unspoken. In fact, you don't usually discover these expectations until someone lets you down. And the funny thing is, funny in a sad way, is that the other person is probably totally unaware of your expectations. You may expect someone to be friendlier. You may expect someone to show more love. And they don't, just because that's the way they are. And what happens? You get offended. You get angry. And treat them badly by what you say and what you do. usually behind their backs. Could you imagine what would happen in your closest relationships, or relationships that should be close, if you could just learn to lift and relax and sometimes get rid of your expectations? Now, you may say that expectations can be good, and you're right. Expectations are good when they aren't about us. When we place expectations on other people so that they can meet our emotional or physical needs, that's selfishness. That's pride. That's sin. I had expectations for my children. I still do. But I always try to make sure it wasn't about me. It was about them so that they could be the best people that they could be, so that they could reach their potential and succeed at whatever they put their hands to. When my son was little, I saw all kinds of expectations that parents placed on their children playing hockey. Some had good intentions, that their child would become a good hockey player. Others looked like they had good intentions, expectations, but they didn't. They were selfish expectations. Expectations that were based on selfishness and pride. Expectations that wanted their child to become the next NHL player, so that they, the parents, would look good. The parents' expectation was that they could live their life through their children, and that their children would add something to their life. And time after time after time, I noticed that those children who had those kinds of expectations placed upon them were usually miserable and began to hate the very thing that they were doing. When our expectations have selfish motives behind them, if they aren't the kind of motives that are for the good of the other person, then those expectations are deadly, emotionally and relationally. And I would also say physically, because all of that bitterness and anger will show up in your life in sickness and disease. How about, instead of expectations on those around us, we just let go of them and watch God work in the other person's life? How about we suspend our expectations and watch the ones that we love as they journey with the Lord through life? How about we get rid of the all it's all about me mentality and adopt the mentality that says it's all about them and Jesus? What if we get rid of our expectations of others meeting our needs, of them doing this and them doing that, and instead just enjoying them as a gift of God in our lives, the gift of warmth and friendship, and focus on what we can do to show our love to them instead? Let me tell you something that I really don't want any of you to forget, me included. The very thing that is probably causing most of the problems in your closest relationships, the thing that is hampering your closest relationships from thriving, probably isn't the other person, but your expectations of the other person. If you don't feel close to the people that you should feel close to, ask yourself, what are my expectations of them? What are they saying or doing that I don't like? Or what are they not saying or doing that I don't like? How are they not meeting my needs? If you can isolate those expectations, then I would suggest that you get rid of them in a hurry before the relationship is broken beyond repair. It's sometimes hard to isolate our expectations of others because they are usually subconscious. Sometimes we don't even realize that we have them. And what makes expectations even worse is that very, very often, our expectations of others are often unreasonable, unfounded, and based more upon our own needs than on a realistic understanding of the other person. To see this, you need look no further than your closest human relationship. I want you to think back to when you first met this person. How long did it take after you first met them to realize that you were carrying expectations of them that they were not meeting? after that? How long did it take you to realize they might never meet those expectations? And after that, how long did it take you to let go of those expectations and learn to truly love that other person? Not for what you expected them to be, but for who they really were. Anybody still working on that? I am. We go into relationships with unreasonable expectations of other people. Usually we also have unreasonable expectations of ourselves. How long has it taken you to learn to accept yourself for who you are? If you have still not accepted yourself, I assure you that you have not learned to accept other people. You can't. As long as it's about making yourself live up to those unreasonable expectations that you have for yourself, you will expect others to live up to them as well. Why is that? It's because expectations are shoulds. To you, it just seems like your expectations are the basic ways that other people should be. Whatever you expect, chances are good you expect it both out of yourself and from others. One more thing that makes expectations so dangerous is that some of us are very sensitive to the expectations of other people. Some of us are so afraid of letting other people down. We fear that we will fail others and they won't like us or they won't love us anymore. I have a lot of expectations on me as a pastor. In fact, if I were to ask each and every one of you here, you would probably state different expectations that you have from me. But you know what? I can't live by those expectations. I'm good at some things. I'm not good at other things. And I can't be all things to all people. If I tried to be, I would fail. And I would fail miserably. And you will fail too if you try to fulfill all the expectations of other people. You'll burn out. I can almost guarantee you'll eventually turn to some destructive behavior, maybe drugs or alcohol, or find some other way of numbing the pain of failure. The only expectations that we should ever be concerned about are God's expectations of us, because those expectations are for our good, so that we can become the people that He wants us to be. I don't think that anything that I'm saying this morning is really new to any of you. I believe that you've either seen it or you've felt it. You've probably all felt the uncertainty of not knowing what, for example, your boss expects at some point in your life. That can be scary. You know that he or she expects something, and your job depends on you meeting those expectations. So you want to know what they are. But on the other hand, you desperately hope they're not too high, or that you haven't already been letting your boss down for the last 6 months. That example is true in our work. It is also true when it comes to our families, our friendships, and our church. Expectations are also usually the biggest challenge to newly married couples. He expects his wife to clean up after him. Why? Because that's what his mom did. She expects her husband to be able to fix everything in the house. Why? Because that's what her dad did. It's true. That's the biggest problem of trouble with married couples, young married couples. Young couples have their sets of shoulds. They are hidden. They know that the expectations are there and they keep stabbing in the dark, trying to get it right. And then they argue when they don't. And around they go. Before we move on to you and Jesus, remember this. In order for your closest relationships to be healthy, at some point you will need to determine what expectations are reasonable. After all, you can't live angry or disappointed or resentful all of your life. You'll have to let go of those expectations that aren't reasonable. That takes time. You must also decide which expectations of others that you will prioritize and which you will choose not to meet. Okay, so let's get Jesus in here. So like our expectations of other people are often unconscious, so are many of our expectations of the Lord. We don't always realize all the shoulds we have for the Lord. Some of our expectations are that Jesus will always keep us healthy. He'll always keep us happy and provide everything that we want. When that doesn't happen, we can get angry. We can get upset with the Lord because our selfish expectations were violated. If you haven't experienced that in your own life, you'll see it all the time when you read the Bible. Time after time, people got mad at God because their expectations weren't met. Unhealthy, self-centered expectations. Many times people had expectations of Jesus, and there were times when Jesus failed to meet those expectations. At other times, he exceeded them. Some of us probably don't even know what our expectations of Jesus are, but very often we are responding to him according to those expectations. Just like people, the Lord won't meet all of your expectations. You know what? That's a good thing. At other times, he will amaze you by the way he meets and exceeds your expectations. Just as it is with our human relationships, we have to really look into our own hearts and try to see our expectations of God and ask ourselves, are they biblical? Are they selfish? Are they reasonable? Are they just for our good or for the good of others? Those are questions that we should ask all the time when it comes of our expectations of Jesus. Remember that I said that Jesus has expectations of us? Well, we should know those expectations by reading his word and by spending time with him in prayer. But we should never, ever have the fear of failing in those expectations. Religious people are always afraid of failing God's expectations. But people with a relationship with Jesus never do. That's because they have the Holy Spirit with them to help them. And they can feel the love of God every day. When we have healthy expectations of the Lord, and when we understand his expectations of us, we will grow. We will draw closer to Jesus, and we will become more and more like Jesus. But that doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Jesus never promised any of us a trouble-free life. In fact, right here he promises that we will have trouble. But he also promised that we can have peace in the midst of trouble. I wonder how many people have given up belief in the Lord just because he didn't meet their expectations to keep them from the troubles of this life. And so they have never gone on to experience that true peace in the midst of trouble. And isn't it true that if this is what God has actually promised us, if this is what we learn to expect, then our expectations of God have actually become higher? The truth is that the Lord will not meet our safe and low expectations of him. But if you stick with him, he will teach you to have new expectations that are deeper and higher than anything you ever had before. And the second half of this point is critical. The point concerning God's expectations for us. In fact, we all need to ask ourselves if we will meet God's expectations for us or not. But when we commit to meeting the Lord's expectations for us, we will learn more about Jesus than in any other way. Sometimes we assume God expects things of us he does not expect. Things like instant perfection and constant striving. And we often fail to meet his real expectations of us. Things like faithfulness, obedience, and perseverance. Just like we do with people, we project our expectations onto God. We assume that God expects of us what we expect of ourselves. But I'm glad that He doesn't. Because some of our expectations of ourselves are the most toxic and ungodly things about us. When we are immature in our faith, we assume that Jesus expects us to be good. But maturity tells us that He expects us to become not just good, but godly. When we are immature, we assume Jesus expects us to pray. Eventually, we learn that Jesus expects us to learn to pray. Immature faith believes that Jesus expects us to not fear in the face of trouble. Maturity assures us that Jesus expects us to cling to Him in trouble. And then over many years, we will find that clinging to the Lord helps us respond to fear properly. You know, Jesus will shape us in huge ways. Not when we try to meet the perfectionistic, rigid, misguided expectations that we think He has, but the real ones. The expectations that are gentle, reasonable, and always, always in our best interests. Jeremiah 29:11, I'm sure you all know this one, says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Those are the Lord's intentions for us. And His expectations of us are simply that we live in ways that allow His intentions to be fulfilled in our lives. We all have expectations of each other and of God. They often fly under the radar, and very often they are unseen by us. They can be the source of some great frustration. And they can say more about us than about those from whom we expect things. And in both human and in divine relationships, our greatest growth can only happen as we learn to deal with them properly by putting Jesus and the needs of others above ourselves.